Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey, welcome back to the Nexus Podcast. I'm your host, James Duvall. If you haven't subscribed yet, take a moment to do that so you don't miss any episodes for you or your team. Today, we are continuing the conversation about digital ministry with our very own executive creative pastor, Greg Reed. Greg is passionate about reaching people using the unique tools and technology available to us, and he has a lot to share on this subject. So welcome, Greg. Glad to have you on the show.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
Well, we created this podcast to help church leaders develop themselves and their teams. And we know our mission at Christ Fellowship and the church doesn't change, but our methods have to. So what are some methods that are changing culturally that the church should be paying attention to?
Yeah, and I think we hear this a lot, married to your mission, but you got to be able to date your model. And I think what we've seen mostly in the last few years is really just a change, and I would say in the business perspective. So we're going to talk business world. So when I say the word customer, I don't want church leaders to freak out, but really it's been a change in customers' behaviors. And if you think about like all of history, what we'd say now is we're in the fourth industrial revolution. We've seen the other ones come. We've seen the first one that was steam and water and what that meant. And the second one that was electricity. And then the third, even in the early 70s of like technology and how that helped us.
Right.
But now we're living in a space, which they really say is the fourth age, the digital age, which really, it kind of blurs the lines between physical and digital. So I think for me, it's really been a difference in how people's lives are now shaped by technology and how that has changed your behaviors. I think my favorite story is if, at least when I was growing up, Blockbuster was like the thing to do on a Friday night.
Yeah,
it was the place
right.
that we love. Now there's a funny show about their demise. But really, like, I think the perfect example is the Blockbuster Netflix, just looking at that model of what happened. Blockbuster, we all know, was the biggest video store in the world. But the fact is, like, every time you kept a movie more than 2 or 3 days, you got in trouble and you had to pay $40 fees. You know, the story is basically of how Netflix started was Mark Rudolph. He gets this DVD from a store after they just came out and he mails it to his friend, Reed Hastings, who had just got like a $40 late fee from Blockbuster, kind of as a joke. Well, Reed Hastings takes out the DVD out of the envelope and he's like, it's perfect. Like there's no scratches. And within 8 months, they launched Netflix. Oh. You know what I mean? And within just 15 minutes, the website crashes. Within a few years, they got over 300,000 monthly users. And the crazy part is 2 years into it, they actually go to Blockbuster and try to sell Netflix to Blockbuster because it's been successful for $50 million. And the story goes, they're laughed out of the boardroom. Everyone makes fun of them. But 5 years later, Netflix was valued at around $1 billion. Wow. And Blockbuster had lost 75% of the market. And we know the rest of the story. By 2010, Blockbuster closed. Netflix is worth $13 billion. So I think it's funny because you look at it, like Blockbuster, what I always say is like they couldn't see past their own success. You know, for them, it was, we rent movies. That's what we do.
Yeah.
But really, they lost sight of the customer. They lost sight of what the customer wanted. And all of a sudden, when most of us didn't even know we wanted a DVD mailed to our house, but what we knew we didn't want is to kind of do business with this company that just viewed us as like late fees. And that's it. But now Netflix, you could see like they weren't married to DVDs. Now we sit there and stream.
Yeah.
Now they actually make movies for us. So I think it's like for that view of just looking at like what's changing culture, it's that idea that our behaviors are really completely changed. And then COVID comes along and changes everything. Like
sure.
For me, I didn't ever do Target pickup. Now we pretty much never go in Target. But I think just the idea of people's behaviors. But I think the thing we have to remember is in the midst of all these behavioral changes, like we'd be naive to think it wouldn't affect the church. If people's behaviors towards everything else is changing, it's changing towards church. We see it in attendance patterns. We see people come less. We see people who are like, yeah, I belong to your church. And you're like, oh, and you realize they hadn't been there in 6 or 7 months. But I think the same way, you know, we're looking at those changed behaviors, the needs of people haven't changed. And I think myself as a pastor, as someone who loves the church, I think that's where there's the most place for the church to say like, people's needs haven't changed since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more anxiety, but there's always been anxiety. You know, really people need hope. They need inspiration. They need purpose. They need relationships. And for me, I'm like, that's what we should be focusing on. And how do we basically figure out new behaviors to meet those same needs? Simon Sinek, who, you know, I love, he has a quote that says, people aren't losing spirituality. The church is losing its relevance. It hasn't adapted its model in over 50 years. The goal of the church is to preach the gospel and make disciples, but many have become fixated on filling seats in their auditoriums. People are still longing and looking for community, belief, belonging, hope, vision, purpose. They're just not getting it from the church. They don't even know the church offers it. And I think to me, that quote from someone who I don't even know their faith journey, but really it's saying so many times we get so focused on, for us, a physical building that we've built, and we lose sight of, like, the church is about people. And really the whole digital conversation is about people. So I'm like, that's where I'm trying to help us always understand as a church and other people I talk to. Like, this whole conversation is about people.
That's amazing. One of the things that, Greg, you've always been really good at is helping people get into the mind of a visitor or attender. You always had the ability to kind of see church from an outsider's perspective. So what do you think the church needs to know about what people are looking for today?
I think sometimes we, as we're preparing for Sundays, we're thinking that most people are sitting home Saturday night, like, thinking about what we're preparing for. And the fact is, it's like, most people aren't laying at home Saturday night thinking about what the pastor's going to preach on Sunday, or like what kids ministry is going to offer, or what song they're going to play. Most people are lying in bed worried about maybe their marriage, or like their relationship with kids, or their finances, or their job, or just overall, like, you start thinking that way, it could probably just lead to an overall question of, like, is this it for life? Like, is it, am I living my purpose? Am I doing my best? And I think for me, that's exactly what the church needs to be speaking to, is those needs. We need to figure out, like, okay, how do we take everything God says about all those areas, everything scripture says, and actually leverage those to meet the needs of people? Because honestly, like, technology is doing all over the place. There's an app for everything, an app for meditation, an app for mental health, an app for making your marriage better. It's everywhere. But like, people are being discipled by something. It's like, so how do we come in and actually meet those felt needs? So I think for us, it's really looking at, how do we help people kind of win at their story? I love Donald Miller has the book Story Brand that he's wrote in the model. And I think it's been such an aha, I know, learning that, and our own leadership team going through it, and just saying the question of, like, so many times the church positions himself as the hero of the story, when the fact it's like, we don't really want to be the hero. Because usually the hero, like, if you think about any good movie, the hero of the story is kind of messed up. They usually have this big struggle. So for us, it's like, how do we position ourselves as the guide? So, like, I love Star Wars. So the best example is Yoda. How do we become that person who says, like, hey, we've been there before. We've been that struggling parent, or like, we've been stuck in a place financially, like, let us help you.
Yeah.
And I think for us, churches is really just learning, how do we position ourselves to really be the guide in someone else's story and not try to take over the story? So even Sunday morning, like, how do we actually position ourselves to just not run a bunch of announcements down just talking about us, but actually invite people into a story? And I think for us, that's probably been one of the greatest changes. And I would tell anyone to read, I think Story Brand's probably one of the best books we've read on that topic, and for really anything that they've put out.
Can you give a couple of practical examples of how we've used StoryBrand especially in our digital space?
Yeah, I think for us, it really goes back to those needs of people. Like, how do we create content that adds value to people? And sometimes I think we have an idea of the content we want to create, but then we don't go think about, like, is that really what people need? So I think for us, that's even like, when we write messages now, when we prep a 6-month calendar, of course, Pastor Todd and Julie are coming with, like, here's what I feel like God's been speaking, but we also bring conversations we've had with people, surveys we've done of, like, hey, this is 10 or 12 of the felt needs that people in our church, some of them come week in and out, some come once a month, but this is what they feel like, I need church to help me with that. So we listen to it and then go, like, okay, how does that meet what we're already kind of processing and really speak to it? The other thing we've done is, you know, we do a lot of resources after every message we write, whether it's a written article, whether it's a resource, whether it's a group, but actually trying to help people with that felt need. So this week we talked about parenting. It's like, how do you actually give someone a devotional on, like, hey, here's how to lead a family devotional? Because for them, they're like, I don't even know where to start. You know, if you're talking about marriage, it's like, hey, here's how to start praying with your spouse, because maybe you're afraid to even ask it. So I think those are just a few practical ways to just add value.
Awesome. Yeah. So we have a lot of senior pastors and senior leaders who listen to this podcast. I'd love to hear from your perspective, who's kind of in this digital marketing communication space. Why do you think it's so important for senior leaders to be on board and support digital ministry in their church?
I think, like anything else, because digital is so new, it takes a senior leader to say, okay, like, we're going to go there. It can't just be one of those things. It's like, I hire someone, like, you go run with it.
Yeah.
Really, the senior leader has the vantage point that no one else has. They see the vision. They even, maybe a vision they haven't even spoke, but they see where they want to go.
Yeah.
And they see how the organization works together. They see how different departments, at the end of the day, it all comes up to them. So really, they have the best vantage point in the organization. Plus, looking back at all the organizations we talk about, when you think about Amazon or Airbnb or Netflix or all these companies that have succeeded, it wasn't some person 3 or 4 rungs down the organization. It was usually the CEO or the leader that said, like, hey, we have to go here. It's kind of changed management. Like, it might not be comfortable. It might feel different, but that's where we have to go. I think about Home Depot years ago, Frank Blake was kind of their CEO who broke them into the digital space. And all of a sudden in COVID, their sales, online sales went 98%. The company stepped into a whole new way. Or Disney, when Robert Iger takes over and literally made them a digital company.
Exactly.
And I think it takes a leader to see the vision like that. And I think I go back to multi-site a few years ago, probably 25 years ago. Now it feels like it was yesterday.
Right? Yeah.
But like 25 years ago, it was crazy to think that you were going to record a message and play it back at other campuses. But it took pastors to go like, yeah, that could work. And I think that took a big shift in staff. That took a big shift. But no one else would have been able to do it. You know, if we were at a church that it was someone two or three rungs away from leadership going like, yeah, we should do multi-site. It's not going to hit the same way as when the senior leader steps up and be like, this is where we have to go and this is how we have to do it.
Yeah. I think for so long, when we talk about digital or the digital age or space, it's been easy for churches to kind of go, well, we have a few people who do social media.
Yeah.
And the pastor or senior leader doesn't even have to engage in it, but the times have changed, right? So how does a pastor lead the way, especially if technology is not their strong suit?
Yeah. And I think great leadership, like this is just another way to, I think great leaders are made of great leadership principles. They don't always know everything about it.
Right.
And I think that's the encouragement to the senior leader. Like even our Pastor Sean and Julie, they're not the ones on top of digital, but they find someone they trust and they help stay a part of the conversation. But I think for senior leaders, just like any other change, you have to manage the change management going on in your organization. But I think three specific ways that I feel like I've seen just studying digital transformation in the business space, but also what we've seen at church is really kind of three ways that I think you could lead through it. One is choose speed over risk management. Mm. And I think the thing is for a lot of our churches, especially as we get larger, we implement more rungs of leadership, we implement more processes, and really all of those are in place to kind of manage risk. Like so, because somewhere along the way, somebody blew something up. Yeah. And we put a fence up and we're like, this is how it goes. But really, you know, as you look in the technology space, even the church space, speed is kind of what puts you to the front of a lot of these things. So, you know, if there's a TikTok trend and all of a sudden your team wants to take advantage of it, well, you can't wait 3 weeks for someone to go put a request in, shoot the video,
analyze it.
Yeah.
See if it's,
you just have to be able to grab an iPhone and go do it. Now blow that up to something bigger. Like, hey, I want to try this whole idea of doing something online completely different. We got to open up to just say like, yeah, let's just try it, see how it goes. I think that jumps into the second one, choose simplicity over perfection. I think so many times great leaders want excellence, but I think so many times we confuse that with perfection and we work so hard, so long to get something that's perfect. And perfection usually leads to like more complications, more layers, when I think we really just need to step back and say like, okay, what's the most simple way to do this?
Yeah.
And the fact is you could add stuff later. Yeah. But I look at so many websites I go on, they stood up one landing page and they're selling a multi-million dollar. And it's like, there's one page with a few links. That's it. There's no like about us pages. There's no. So I think going to just a simple, take what's the most simple way we could do this?
Yeah. Well, it's funny just to jump in there that for so many churches, when it comes to video or something, we want really high quality.
Yep.
We have teams and so forth. But now there's this trend that like it's has to be kind of raw and kind of unedited. And so you have to kind of break those patterns of it has to be polished because the more authentic it is. And so it's that idea of simplicity over
perfection. And the content we see work the most is someone who's vulnerable and just like, that's why so many pastors are like, I don't have a camera. I'm like, pick up your phone and turn the selfie around and just tell your people what you want to tell them. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think the third one is empowerment over control. And this is where I think it really is on the senior leader to really find most of the people in the organization who are going to get this and believe in it are probably younger. And I think this is where it's like, okay, how do I pull up some young people who understand this, who are living like in this cultural moment, they get it, they see what's happening around them and empower them to make decisions. And I think, again, so many times we say the kind of the opposite of empowerment's control. We kind of want to hold on to things. And I think this is one of those areas like we got to, not that we give away everything, but to test something. It's like, okay, I'm going to give them this project. I'm going to give someone 15 years younger than me who really gets this little project and let's try it out. Let's try. And I think for me, it's, how do we empower those people around us? And I think honestly, those three ways are to me how a leader can step into this without knowing anything about digital. It's just good leadership principles.
So maybe some leaders are listening and they're like, well, what's the benefit? Like if I lead in this, if I empower some people to step into the digital space, what are some things that I could anticipate coming out of that?
Yeah. And I think some of it is, I mean, growth. I think growth in the digital space and like for us, we've seen more people call Christ Fellowship home who've never been here physically.
Yeah.
But they don't just attend, they serve, they give, they're taking all the spiritual steps, they're moving in discipleship. Like we've seen that in the thousands.
Yeah.
But I think also like even physical growth, I think, And this kind of goes back for years. Our front door was Sunday morning. Yeah. That was front door of church. We put all of our eggs in the Sunday morning basket. Like, worship had to be amazing. Production had to be high level. Speaking had to be great. But the fact is now, like, that is not people's front door.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're even feeling that in the way people program services. Like, church services are starting to look a little more inside, not insider, but a little more, I would say, a little more worship than normal, prayer moments, and people are engaging with it. But I think it's also because people kind of know what they're coming into because they've seen it. They've seen it through social media. They've seen it through your website. So I think the piece of, like, looking at your front door is, like, it is digital.
People what you're are saying look is you way. Can actually tailor now the live experience more for people who are already connected.
Yeah, because they've already kind of taken, you used to come and be like, oh my gosh, this is weird. Well, the fact is, if people thought it was weird, they've already watched it online, just didn't come. You know what I mean? Or maybe they broke that threshold, but they're like, I've kind of already seen that they do this prayer moment in service, so I'm not too worried about it. Or I've kind of seen how worship looks.
Yeah.
For me, like, when I go to a new hotel, I love to look at the room. I like find pictures of the room before. So I'm not like, I walk in and I'm like, okay, I can control this environment. My wife gets so mad about it. She's like, you're taking all the surprise away. But I think people really do. And I would say the resource has to then follow that. Like, not to say we stop resourcing Sunday, but maybe I just pose a question that a lot of that some resource needs to move away from that into the digital space to make sure the, I would say, the product or the service you're showing online is something that you're proud of, because that's what people are seeing first.
Okay.
But I think also to expect growth, you know, one of the things I loved about, if you look through the story of Target, up until a few years ago, pre-COVID, like, Target wasn't the most amazing department store. It's when they actually really started investing in their digital environments that all of a sudden they just saw massive growth, and not just digital growth and not just income growth, like actual physical stores.
Yeah.
So it's crazy is as you take like their investment in digital, they've now grown in physical stores. And what that meant for them is like, let's say we're talking about some random city in the middle of Nebraska. Well, for Target, that wasn't the customer base. Like, well, we're not going to run ads for them. We're not even going to try to reach them because we're never going to put a store there.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, like, they blow up their online store. And now they're like, oh, well, someone could buy it and we could ship it to them in a few days. So it's like, okay, well, now all of a sudden you start shipping more and more because of the website you've created and the way it tailors it through. And now it's like, well, hold on a second. Like, we could actually have an experience there. And now all of a sudden Target's putting stores in places they never would imagined. And it's crazy. They're tailoring them also for the environment. Like, if you look at Target in Manhattan, it doesn't have like 12 paper towels in a bundle. It's got 4 because if you live in Manhattan, you can't fit 12 paper towels in your apartment.
Right.
But I think for them, they found these niches of like, hey, maybe we thought we could have a store there, but now all of a sudden we're like, oh, we could. It might look a little different. I think even for us, we're probably 1 or 2 campuses away at Christ Fellowship from planning campuses with people who are only watching online.
Yeah.
We are right now like, we've pretty much saturated within the next 1 or 2 campuses. We've kind of saturated our physical driving area, like where people could be driving to a campus. So for us, like, our future growth is going to be people who are already fully connected online, and they're wishing they had a physical expression. And now eventually we'll give them one in a city that they are. And I think for my head is like, man, that's huge growth. And it's also like, you did it a lot easier and a lot, to me, you were way better steward of resources because you didn't have to go to a random city, start all these marketing ads, trial rentals. Mm-hmm. You can go into an area knowing like we have 200 or 300 people who watch us every Sunday who are already engaged in discipleship. When we open the doors, they're already leaders. They're already volunteers. So for me, I think the biggest thing I've seen, I would encourage leaders is like, look at some of these companies that you've seen them invest massively into the digital footprint. And it's not just to engage a bigger digital audience. It actually is engaging a physical audience.
Yeah.
So for us, we look at that. Like, we have people who they come online to check out a service. They live 5 minutes from a campus. Now, we're not only going to tell them to come to a campus, but we're going to open up the invitation. Like, if you're watching from home and you enjoy this and you're connecting with it, hey, there is something different that happens in person.
Right.
Like, come join us at a campus. And it's, I mean, over and over, every conversation, so many conversations, not every, that we have with new people at church, they have either seen our website, they've watched us on social media, or they've watched our church service online. And so for us, it's like, okay, how do we put our best foot forward? Because we have all this growth coming. So yeah, I think it's just not about, I think sometimes we can quickly look at, hey, we have 30,000 more followers, we have more YouTube. But the fact is, like, I think this is the way to continue to grow church further.
Yeah, that's great. And I would say that we've seen that here locally too, that when we went really all in on the digital space, the digital space has grown, but we've also seen tremendous growth in all our physical environments at every location.
Yep.
So I think there is a correlation there of awareness, kind of understanding what's going on. It's that front door, but it allows people to feel comfortable.
And I think, it is. Every time I see a jump in physical, the first thing I do is usually go to digital numbers, and I expect to see a drop down. Like, oh, it's just people coming from online to physical. but it's not. They're both up and to the right drastically, which is super encouraging.
Right. Awesome. Well, if you can't wait to hear more from Greg, don't worry, because next week we have Greg back for part two of developing the strategic plan for digital discipleship. Don't forget to subscribe and visit the show notes so you can let us know where you're listening from, what you need prayer for, and what you're doing in the ministry that's working really well. And let us know if you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear more about. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.